Chapter 79. Kip had barely escaped to his room and his pounding head and his flickering visions when there was a rapid knock on his door. Tia.
Go away,
Kip said. He sounded like a petulant child, and he hated himself for it.
Breaker, she said. You need me.
But when she said Breaker, again he heard Diacoptes, the sense of two languages colliding, intertwining. Diacoptes. He who rends asunder. He heard a woman whisper it in his ear, sharing a secret. He heard an old man screaming it in despair in the distance. He heard a crowd chanting it until it melded with Breaker, Breaker.
Breaker, open the door,
Tia said, and Kip was aware of himself once again, leaning against the door frame, head down, heart racing. He opened the door. Tia came in.
Decision time, she said. Your grandfather is going to know about your half-brother's arrival any moment. If he doesn't already, he'll send for Zymon, and then he'll send for you, right?
I suppose, Kip said.
What'll happen?
We tried to kill each other the last time we met, Tia, and Zymon's not the forgive-and-forget type.
But even as Kip said the name, Zymon, it echoed in his head. Zymon the Dancer. Forests flashed before his eyes, light streaming through morning mist, rising in a meadow. A man he knew well lying prone at my feet. Unconscious? No, dead. Dead, Kip was certain of it, and gone. Only to be replaced by dazzling pain.
Breaker, pay attention. Who hesitates? She quoted. Finish it.
Is lost, Kip said.
So you've got a choice. Wait until your grandfather summons you and dance to his tune again, or run.
Run?
Kip asked.
White and black spots were still slamming into each other companionably in front of his face.
Take a ship, take it anywhere.
I wouldn't even know where to hire her.
I do.
Or how much to pay for past
200 dinars. You've got 5 times that in your stash.
She pointed at his hidden coin stash.
You know about my coins?
Kip asked.
You're many things, Breaker, but sneaky ain't one.
Breaker. Again, it was like someone rang a cymbal next to his ear, but it didn't distract him completely.
Breaker, she'd said.
And ain't? Tia didn't talk like that. Not usually. She was establishing distance between them. Kip didn't even know what he'd done.
It was the booger thing, wasn't it?
He asked.
Kip, no time!
But a flush of red suffused the grey of her cloak until she noticed it, and he went back to flat, boring grey immediately. Kip drew his green spectacles and tried to draft enough to nudge the coin sticks off the rafter, but at the first infusion of green he almost retched.
Tia, I don't suppose you could draft to knock the coins down for...
Oh, you only draft peril, never mind. Boost me, she said. They'd worked together long enough that he did it automatically.
The plan is that I fling her up to the window ledge and she'll lie down, extend a hand for me to grab. I'm the heavier by far. It's how we always do it. But the fire is too intense, nearly smokeless, intense. The reds are pouring luxin into the manse. Overkill, but we've given them reason to fear a team of shimmer cloaks. I fling Gebelin skyward, the hem of her shimmer cloak trailing fire.
Tia sprang up and grabbed the coin sticks and he caught her on the way down. Distracted by the vision of fire, his hands stayed on Tia's hips just a moment too long.
Kip,
she said. She thumped his wrist with a coin stick.
Sorry, he said. He'd be more embarrassed if he weren't in so much pain.
The captain's name is Two Gun Ben. You don't pay him a dinar more than 200, you understand? He's already agreed. East docks, blue. Now move! We've probably...
A sharp knock at the door interrupted them.
Kip, it's your grandfather. Open the door. It's urgent.
The master, hands stained red with betrayal, scribbling lines he'd been writing to the colour prince. He'd gone white and he didn't know how to escape, so he was planning to join the colour prince. Eventually he would betray him too, but joining the colour prince would give him time, and that was a commodity the master needed. Kip blinked. His head was pounding. Tia was cursing silently. She was mouthing words to him. Don't open it. For a moment he couldn't think at all. Then all he could think about was all the cards in his pockets. Tia was already moving, throwing open his bureau. Kip handed her the card boxes and she buried them all under some clothes and shut the bureau quietly.
Hesitated, Kip said. I hesitated. Not like me at all.
Damn it. He opened the door. Andros Guile stepped inside, not waiting for an invitation.
He looked at Tyr, surprised, perhaps, to see her here.
You're filling out nicely, he said, staring Tyr up and down. So sad Kip won you away from me.
He gave her a little charming grin.
If you wish to visit my chambers on a more open basis, though, please come by.
She shrank from him. Kip realized what she did not. Andros Gyle wasn't serious. His tastes didn't go so young. If he wasn't interested in Tysis, he certainly wouldn't be interested in Tyr. He was merely digging deep enough into debasement to undercut her fundamental decency. He wanted to unnerve her. It worked.
You're dismissed, Kaleen,
Andros said, turning his attention to Kip.
I'm afraid—
Dismissed,
he said. He was the Promarchos, and even without the weight of his new title, he was a man accustomed to being obeyed. Tyr practically flared. Andros closed the door behind her.
Has she come to you?
He asked. Pardon? Kip asked.
Tysis, has she come to you? My spies have reported a Malargos ship being quietly ready to sail this evening. A smuggler's ship, fast. One they don't know I know they own. Has she come and proposed marriage or not?
A long silence. Yes, Kip admitted. Andros slapped his gloves into his other hand and smiled.
I so love it when I'm right. That prediction? That was a bit of genius, if I do say so myself. New player, impulsive, trapped. Hard to predict. Did you bed her?
Kip shook his head, then was ashamed of himself. He should have told the old bastard it was none of his business. Why did Kip defer to his enemy?
Well, you can lead a horse to a mare in heat, I suppose, but you can't make him mount her. Not usually a problem for us Giles. My advice? Get rid of that fat. You might find a libido hiding under it.
Kip opened his mouth. He wasn't even sure what he was going to say, and he didn't care. He was about to open the blunderbuss and let fire. But Andros raised a finger.
But,
his eyes twinkled,
I didn't come here to lecture you, dear boy. I came to give you a choice. Few in this world get their life-defining choices handed to them and labelled as such. But you are special, and I am feeling generous. Do you have them for me?
Huh?
The cards, Kip.
You never sent me to look for my father. You broke your word.
I broke nothing. We agreed I'd choose the time. I mean to send you to be part of the group that will free him. You are spending your time here profitably. I don't waste those who work for me. Now, do you have my cards?
Kip could feel his future slipping away. No, he said. He wasn't sure at this moment if he would have handed them over regardless. No. That was a lie. He would have. He was that much of a coward. Andros Gyle sighed.
Do you know that I really did want to make you prism? I was ready to groom you, to give you, the bastard from a backwater village, 7 years as one of the most powerful people in the world. I would have made you, the fat little orphan, the most admired man in the world. From there, you could have possibly extended your reign, were you competent enough. But you're not much of a Guile. Not enough to hide your ambition and take my orders for a short while. You're too stupid to play the game at its highest levels. I was going to give you a task next. You against your brother. Whoever won would be Prism.
The Promarchos doesn't name Prisms. Kip was parroting Quinton, though. Andros Gyle merely smirked. But you can orchestrate such things, Kip said, heart sinking. I knew I was right to be skeptical.
What do you think I've been doing the whole time Gavin's been gone? What do you think I've been doing my whole life?
Setting things up, destroying and sacrificing people as if they were cards, as if all that mattered was the game. What was the task going to be? Kip asked.
To destroy the Green Bane and bring me something from it.
What? I already destroyed the Green Bane. A smile lit Andros's lips.
Oh, you are learning. Look at that. An effort that took thousands of people, and you easily inserted yourself into the story as the hero, as if you'd done it all alone. A noble's trick, that. A dirty one, but time-honored. Congratulations.
Fact is, the Green Bane is reforming, or has reformed already. You botched the job. You need to take the seed crystal from it, or it simply grows again.
Kip was gutted. So all we did, the destruction of the whole navy, the whole Battle of Rue, the capture of Ruick Head, the deaths, they were all for nothing?
It was a setback for our enemies. They had the seed crystal, the Green Bane, and an Atarat. They lost them all, but we didn't gain them.
The idea of going back to fight the Green Bane again was like being asked to voluntarily get back in a closet full of rats. So that's why you looked so inept.
Pardon?
No one applied the word inept to the guile. You took the Navy to Rue and did everything wrong, if you were trying to save the city. You didn't care about the city, said Kip.
Had we saved the city but lost the Bane, we would have lost the war, and lost the city too, within days.
But you didn't care that you lost it, that's the difference.
Yes, please. Given unlimited time and perfect hindsight, tell me how you would have directed our forces, so that all would have been well. Regardless, you dithered and Sunday is upon us. You won't be the next Prism.
The words echoed in Kip's head. You won't be the Prism, Janis Borig had told him. Plain as day. That wasn't how prophecy usually worked, was it? It was usually all obfuscation, smoke and mirrors, and darkness, and flashing lights to blind the unwary. When it was just stated, did that make it more certain or less? Kip wasn't certain how much to believe Andros Guile, though. Sure, it was one thing to go hunting the Bane, but why sacrifice your whole fleet to do it? If you saw a trap, you sprang it with a few ships, not your whole fleet. He may well have been hunting the Bane, but that didn't mean he had godlike perspicacity. And he'd been a red-white at the time. That had to have clouded his vision, made him impulsive. Perhaps he was only lying to himself now, telling himself that the losses had all been part of the plan. Kip opened his blunderbuss to say so. Shut it. Andros Guile continued.
But now you have another choice. Marry Tisus, go with her tonight. I will provide a Luxiat who will marry you in secret because he believes love conquers all. Whatever you tell her at first, I don't care, but as time goes by, you will make her believe you've fallen in love, and do your best to make her do the same. That's vital, you understand? Then you stay with her, reporting to me from time to time. Irene Malagos has big plans, and I've been unable to get a spy close in to learn them. You serve them, pretending to hate me. Your half-brother will become the Prism. But Prisms usually only last 7 years. You can wait, right? You'll have a beautiful wife. You'll have riches. I could even allow you to take your little friend Tia with you to guard your back, or your bed, whichever. At the very worst, Kip, it gets you out of Big Jasper alive. I know there have been attempts on your life, and those haven't come from me. I don't believe the attempts will stop if you remain here. What you need is some time to get away, to grow up, to marshal your powers and your skills. You're 16, and you're starting to see who you will be. But you're not that man yet, and there are challenges here to which you are not yet equal. If you take care how much you draft, in a few years you can come back as the head of the foremost Hrothgari house, if not the head of the satrapy itself, and a full-spectrum polychrome. Well, then we publicly make peace and reunite, and all that I have will be yours. Marriages are often made to make peace and cement alliances, and yours would do both, both in the short term and in the long.
I just have to become your spy.
Yes. Yes, staying alive is such a dirty business, isn't it? Perhaps you should leave it to others,
Andros sneered.
You have to become my heir. You'll be serving the Promarchos and the Satrapies, not just our family. Such is only right.
Then why does it feel wrong? Kip asked.
Because you're young, and you haven't learned the difference between a twinge of conscience and a twinge of fear. In other words, arse from elbow.
Oh, no, Kip said. In my time under your tutelage, I've become quite adept in recognizing an arse.
Then you ought to do well when you meet Two-Gun Ben.
Given that Kip had only heard of the captain minutes ago, he was too shocked to keep it off his face.
Oh, yes, I know all about him. He's not a transporter. He's a slaver, and too cautious to ransom the slaves he takes back to their families. You go with him and he'll clip your ear and put you on an oar. We've had quite enough of that in this family, don't you think? Your friends aren't as clever as you hope, Kip. Nor are you. Speaking of which, whatever you choose before you go, I will have my cards. This is not optional.
A jolt of real fear shot through Kip.
I already told you. I don't have, Kip said.
Not optional. You must.
And to Kip. His face suddenly twisted, replaced by a much younger Andros Guile, young and strong, standing in his own manse, addressing his 13-year-old son.
You must do this, Gavin. All our family, all our satrapy, all the world and all of history rests upon you. In the blinding glare of his responsibilities, a Guile doesn't blink.
Then Kip was back, and Andros's face was tight, suspicious, and old.
Kip! Show me what's in your pockets.
You won't listen, Kip said.
He couldn't even take joy in the fact that the cards were in the bureau and not in his pockets. Small victory indeed.
I won't listen to lies, boy, and I can tell you're lying to me.
And a lie bloomed, and Kip saw a narrow hope. Lying because I've been afraid of what you'll do. Now I just don't care anymore. I saved her life, Grandfather, if only for a few minutes.
Huh? Janice Borig? I knew it.
Someone sent assassins after her. Not ordinary assassins, but assassins who could make themselves invisible. I came in while they were still robbing the place, and I could see them in sub-red. They didn't expect me to be able to see them, and I got lucky. I killed them both. But we triggered some of her traps, and the place caught fire. I tried to carry her body out, and she was still alive. She made me get the assassins' cloaks, and then on our way out, she stopped me again. She grabbed this.
Kip wondered what insanity had gotten into him, but it felt like the only way. He dug out Janice Borig's card box. Andros Guile's eyes lit with hungry fire. He reached for the box, but Kip didn't give it to him.
Why is it broken?
Of course, he cared about the cards first, and not the woman. Kip said,
She died before I carried her 2 blocks away. I came and gave my father the cloaks and—
Cloaks? Plural?
Yes. Kip said. He couldn't help it. His lies wouldn't have the ring of truth if he didn't give his grandfather a whole lot of real intelligence. Of course, any of this could be a trap. Maybe his grandfather already knew all of this and was expecting the lie.
And I gave him the cards. I took a peek first, of course. There was name after name, so many it was overwhelming. But it was the very night Gavin got back, and he found me and took the cards. I didn't see them again. Until today.
You're telling me you found these today?
I swear it on my hope for light.
Give them to me!
Kip shook his head.
You don't understand. I would have brought them to you. After looking at them, of course. After writing down all the names. Maybe after viewing a few of them. But maybe not even that.
Janice told me she put traps on the cards that would flay a man's mind. Kip blew out a breath, and it wasn't pretense. Whatever had happened to his mind, it had felt like flaying. He didn't think he'd seen the last of whatever it was that had happened.
They were hidden in Gavin's training room. When I found them, he handed over the box.
Andros Guile's brow furrowed. He hated not understanding things immediately. He handled the box like it was an asp. He put it on the table, pulled on his gloves, noted the box's broken side, and opened it gingerly. When nothing happened, he examined the back of the top card minutely.
Definitely her work. I'd spot a counterfeit.
He looked up at Kip.
Congratulations, boy. Perhaps you have some hope of being Prism after all.
Kip just shook his head. Andros scowled. He flipped over the top card, his head cocked as he saw the blank on the other side. He flipped another card. Blank. Another. Another. He cut the deck in half and looked at a card there, then another. He flipped the entire deck onto the table and fanned them out. Every last card, blank.
No!
He screamed.
No!
Kip's door was flung open and 2 blackguards were inside in a blink, each with a knife drawn for close quarters combat and spectacles on drawing magic, looking for a source of attack and alighting on Kip. Andros held a hand up and waved them off immediately. It was Gil Grayling and Bayern Yell.
Out!
Andros ordered.
Out, now!
They sheathed weapons and left immediately. Andros Guile obviously tolerated no less.
They didn't even apologize for intruding, which Kip guessed was the price Andros Gile paid for always treating them so poorly. Before the door had even closed, Andros said,
"What have you done? This isn't what I demanded. This doesn't make you Prism."
"I'm telling you," Kip said, "I found them like this. After months of searching, I find them like this. After all the threats you've thrown my way, I finally find them, and they're blank. I knew you wouldn't believe me."
"You destroyed them."
"I'm still scared of that old lady, and I saw her die. I didn't dare mess with them. She was crazy. I saw the traps she laid in her own home, fire traps, when there were barrels of black powder everywhere in her home." "Don't go on too long, Kip. Let the hook stay in the water." Andros looked at Kip skeptically.
"So either Gavin destroyed the cards accidentally or on purpose, or someone found them since and did the same, accidentally or on purpose. You found these where?"
"In the middle of a heavy bag, in Gavin's exercise room." Andros thought.
"So, unlikely that someone else would have hidden it there, unless Iron Fist is making a play. Of course, he'd be much more likely to trigger a trap. No, Gavin. That's how he knew about—"
Andros's eyes lit suddenly, and Kip knew he'd swallowed it. It fit some narrative in his own mind, and he'd almost given Kip information by thinking aloud. The weakness of a spider. It sees every dangling thread as part of a web.
"Name every card you can remember, boy. It may be I can glean something from the very names, or the inclusion of certain men or women."
"I saw them only briefly," Kip pleaded, "6 months ago." "Oh, Orholm have mercy. Even saying the names might flay his mind." "Fine, fine, I remember a few." He sat down and closed his eyes to make a show of trying to remember, but really because he thought he might get dizzy again. "Shimmercloak." His vision swam, and he was following Nia's perfect ass down the dock on his way to assassinate Janice Borig. He swallowed hard. "It said something like, if light splitter—" "I remember it because I'd never heard of a light splitter before. I've been afraid to ask any of the Luxiats or Magisters about—"
"Not interested in your interpretations. Names," Andros Gile said.
"Zymon the Dancer," Kip said. And he was standing on the deck of a great barge, looking at Gavin Gile's back, trying to make himself look more frail and younger than he was. He fingered the knife secreted under his tunic, picking his moment.
"Zymon?"
Andros asked.
"Do you remember that one? What did it look like?"
"I thought you weren't interested in my inter—" Kip shut up at the look in Andros's eyes. "I don't remember what he was doing, but it was Zymon. It was definitely Zymon."
"Damn you for turning the cards over to Gavin and not me," Andros said.
"You were trying to murder me at the time."
"Next! The Malargos girl will be coming any time now, and I can't be here when that happens. Quickly!"
It was like choosing to plunge your hand into fire. How smart was Kip? He had to give the list fast enough so that his grandfather wouldn't think he was sorting them, had to give enough of a list so that his grandfather would think he was giving him all that he remembered, but not so long of a list that he'd be suspicious why Kip would remember so many, and if they weren't a good enough list of surprising and unsurprising cards, he would know. He would know. And Kip had to do all this while his head split and hallucinations danced around him every time he spoke. Oh, hells. "New green white. Incipient white. Flintlock. Sea Demon Slayer," Kip blurted. "That last, that damned pirate, that was Gunner. Shimmercloak, sorry, said that already. D.D. Falling Leaf. Wissem the Wild. A Haired Brightwater. Samilla Sae." Kip was going to throw up. He was forgetting who he was. "Mirror Armor. The Fallen Prophet." He almost said Black Luxin and the Master. "Skimmer. Condor. Viv Greyskin. The Butcher of Agbalu. Incendiary Musket. The Burnt Apostate. The Angari Serpent." Andros listened with a quiet intensity that told Kip he was memorizing all of it. All of it, on one hearing. The man was infuriating. Finally, Andros spoke.
"So you have something of the Guile memory, if nothing else. Good. Did you see Aurea Pallor, or any of my sons?"
"Aurea?"
"The White,"
Andros said, terse, impatient, frustrated. No, I looked for my father, but I never saw him."
"So some cards are still out there," Andros said.
"Still intact.
Maybe."
For some reason, Kip found that funny. Andros was so certain of his own judgment. If he thought someone was important, he had no doubt that they would have a card. My judgment and the judgment of history will be the same, he thought. What an ass.
One last question, Andros said. Did you see a Lightbringer card?
Janus Borig's face was unnaturally pale, luminous in reflected lightning light.
I don't suppose you grabbed my brushes, she asked, because I know who the Lightbringer is now.
And then she died. It was me, Kip said quietly. Faster than most men would have been able to process shock alone, Andros Guile's face went through shock, insult, and settled on rage.
You lie!
He barked, sinews standing taut on his neck. He stepped forward as if to strike.
Of course I lie, Kip said.
His tone said, you moron, I just wanted to see you dance. He saw his disdain like a tuning fork ringing Andros Guile's rage, which went from hot to cold in an instant as he realized he was being taunted. But Kip wasn't done.
And obviously you lie too. You're the one who brought up the idea of me being the Lightbringer, to torment me. I know there's no such thing. I know how you work, you old cancer.
You really think you can outsmart me? Me? I know what you and your father are doing, Kip. Have known since you claimed the epithet Breaker. Clever to set it up as you did. Clever to have another give it to you. Clever using the Blackguard habit of nicknaming to take it and to take a tertiary translation that might slip past the Luxiats, yet look so obvious in retrospect. But clever isn't enough, boy. Not against me.
I have no idea what you're talking about, Kip said. But it was a lie, and he felt the blood draining from his face, from his head, leaving him light-headed on top of sick and dizzy and pained. He wouldn't have known yesterday, or 2 hours ago. But now, he who tears asunder, renderer, shatterer, destroyer. Breaker was the most pedestrian and vague of translations for Diacoptes.
Aha!
Andros looked triumphant. He'd seen the lie on Kip's face. He was in control again.
Well, I'm sure Gavin put you up to it. And it speaks well of you that you've continued to play it quietly in his absence, in case he came back. We'll discuss this fraud more in time. For the nonce, only one thing matters, your choice. I gave you one task, and a prize if you accomplished it. You failed. Consider it a miracle I don't have you killed. Your half-brother will be named Prism Elect at dawn. At midwinter he will become Prism. There is nothing you can do to stop this or take his place. No doubt your squad will greatly enjoy guarding him against threats like you. Your choice now is simple. If you wish to marry that girl and be my spy and live, come by and talk to me before you leave. Choose what you will, but if you're here tomorrow, you'll be dead before sunset.
He cocked his head at a sound.
I've stayed over long. Decide well, Diacoptes, or it will not be your dreams alone that will be broken this night.
He hit the light control on the wall and left Kip in darkness.